This episode includes a discussion of sensitive topics related to mental health and may be activating for some listeners. We encourage you to take care of yourself. For support and resources, visit beam.community/get help now.
This episode is unlike every other episode this season. While filming, we had the opportunity to navigate distress in real time. We invite you behind the scenes and into the process of healing and repair.
Welcome back. I'm Natalie.
And I'm YOLO.
And this is the Black Healing Remix Podcast.
We're so excited to be back, but we have a little special. We're doing something different today. Okay. You know, a big part of Beam, one of our common phrases we say is that we are the work and whatever is in the moment is the work. And so this episode, we want to use a real life situation that's happening on our, that happened on our cast and our set as an opportunity to kind of talk about the work and talk about the moment. And so that's what this episode is going to be about. Do you have anything you want to add to that now?
Yeah. I mean, I think, you know, the reality is we plan a lot of things and then life happens. And so how do we navigate the life happening? And I think it's a perfect opportunity to practice what our beliefs are and to model it, to demonstrate it, right? And to fumble and recover, And that's really what practice is actually about.
Ashe, because there's always the lessons in the failure.
100%.
And that's where the growth happens. If you're not failing, you're not growing.
Absolutely.
And I feel like this episode hopefully will be a fruitful conversation for you as you are growing, failing, fumbling, succeeding, winning, and just figuring out how to navigate your own emotions and experiences. Essentially what happened is I was in conversation with Natalie, cameras were rolling, and I felt my energy shift.
Maybe I looked over and I said, the battery has died. The battery has died.
And I think in addition to the shifting, I had in my head a certain vision of where we were going, and it just seemed like we were going somewhere else. And so I was a little disoriented on top of being kind of my battery low. And then we cut the cameras, and then really people came into the crew came in very thoughtfully trying to be supportive. But in that moment, I communicated that, hey, I just need food and I need a break. And I think people were offering me, you know, a lot more framing about like, oh, this is how podcasts work. And this is, you know, it's okay to be, that you're confused about where to go. And a lot of that for me in the moment felt like I was being mansplained to or gaslit in terms of just being honored in terms of like, hey, you need a break. You're feeling confused. Take a break. Come back. Mm-hmm. And so for me, that's a trigger for me. It activated me because I'm getting frustrated because I'm just like, hey, I just actually need a break and to reorient and need food. And I think people are thoughtfully and careful and in a caring way coming back and trying to offer me solutions that aren't really about, that are more about fixing the situation more than like, actually, I just said what I need and I need to get that. And so I think that like what happened in that moment was, a teachable moment for me because I felt my frustration. I'm sure it also created feelings and experiences people on the set as well. And then when we came back after I had some talking with Natalie, we had a ton of process and I got some food. We had to talk about it. Came back because for me it was really important. I just don't want to come back to the space and then we not talk about, hey, what just happened. And then I shared, this is what I experienced. And that led to a broader conversation. So,
And what I love about you really is that, you know, sometimes we're in opposition about this, right?
Yes, we are.
I am very strategic. I'll be like, what do I want to say and when and what's that going to create and da da da. And YOLO's like, I need to say the thing. I need to say the thing right now because if I can't say the thing, I ain't gonna be able to move on. And I'd be like, okay, because I've existed in this Black woman body, and I'd be like, honey, I got to be strategic. And so I love that we got to process that too. That some of that is gendered,
yes,
right?
Absolutely.
About what we get to say and absolutely. When we get to say it. Mm-hmm. And what I love about you, like having the bravery, right, to honor yourself in a moment where we're working with people who are wonderful, but we don't know well, right? Is that you stood in that. Right? And didn't ask for anything, but wanted to share the experience. Right? And what I love is TA, who is supporting us with sound, said, you know, I don't know if I should apologize. I'm not exactly sure what to do. And what I love about that is that that's the work, mm-hmm. right? The bravery in the moment to say, I don't know what I'm supposed to do with this. And then there's an opportunity to kind of unpack it and really name it and talk about it. And it's all the layers, right? That's really what healing justice is. That really is what our work is it's all the layers all at the same time and having the capacity to manage ourselves and be loving and kind to each other while we process all the wild things that happen in life.
Absolutely.
And so that's what you'll get to hear.
And there it is.
The next section of this episode includes a segment of the regular recording that immediately preceded the incident.
Which is, I think, you know, the perfect introduction of the sacred pause, right? Which is a tool and a practice we use in all of our training and all of our work at Beam. It is the opportunity to pause, to get grounded, to come back to yourself a little bit. Recognizing that so many of us, we go from meeting to meeting to meeting. We have 10 million things we're responsible for in a day. But how do we decompress? How do we find center? How do we speak from our heart, not just from our intellect or from our anxiety? And so I'd love if you would like kind of share and talk about what even a sacred pause is and how do we do that?
Yeah. Can we pause for a minute?
Yeah.
Check in.
Yeah.
Pause. How's it feeling?
I feel fine. You don't.
Yeah, I feel like I feel like the pause break. I don't know. I feel like we're missing something. Something feels off.
Well, also we can bring it in what do you want to be here?
I don't feel like the breath is here now. I feel like we need to go to the Black mental health piece. Because I'm also worried we went too far in the weeds in the beginning. I'm nervous about
it. It's all editable.
But did you feel that? No?
I trust that they're going to cut the right things down.
Oh,
I would rather have more than less.
We're going to support them with the cuts. Make sure we don't be looking crazy.
I would just
rather
have more than less to work with.
Okay, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, because I was like feeling like, I feel like going to the breathing practice, I was like, oh, that feels weird for me now. Because I feel like we haven't gone deep enough to go to the breathing. Does that make sense?
Well, I think more depth will come and it can be inserted wherever. But also, like, you can't have deep first thing because also we're not trying to be deep first.
Right. No, I'm with you. It didn't sink. It didn't sink for me. I had a pause. I was like, I don't feel like I can go into the breathing pause right now because it doesn't feel right.
Okay.
That makes sense.
Tell me where you want to go and let's go.
Go ahead.
Question. Do we want to pause, like stop for a second? Or we feel good to get into it now?
I think we can continue getting to it now.
Yeah, you just have to drive.
The drive?
Because I don't know where you want to go. But I'm down.
You're down? Okay.
If you need a moment, we can cut and then take the moment. There's no pressure.
Or just because, you know, he can change the dialogue to say, before we get into that, let's discuss this.
Yeah, okay.
And that's a pivot.
Okay, yeah. That's a pivot. Okay, I'll do that. Thank you for that. Okay, so, before we get into that part, Natalie, I really want to talk about Black mental health. I want to talk about how we're in this political moment where everybody's talking about therapy and wellness and healing and realizing that we ain't always been there as folks. Some of us still ain't there. It's not across the entire community, right?
Right.
And I want to hold that, like, there's a beauty and power in what's happening, but there's also kind of funkiness with it.
Mm.
Like, and the beauty and power is that, like, now we're having this moment where we have conversations around trauma and healing and people are realizing things about themselves. And then the funkiness is I'm starting to see the ways in which people are using mental health to shame people. Mm. Girl, you just need to heal.
Mm.
I'm starting to see the ways in which people are not recognizing that access to care is really difficult for most of us.
And difficult to navigate. Even if you have access, even if you have medical insurance and you have all the things lined up, now it requires bravery and tenacity to continue to, like, navigate our medical industrial complex, which is not user friendly.
No, it's not.
You know what I mean? Like, it is challenging to be like, okay, how do I find a therapist? I remember calling my doctor and being like, hey, I want to get a therapist. And they were like, okay, well, what symptoms do you have? And I was like, first of all, what? And then they basically saying, I want to make sure that the person is Black. And they said, well, we don't screen for race. We don't ask them what race they are. And I was like, well, how do I know they know what they talk? You know, I was like, that ain't going to work for me. Like, I need to know some specifics before I come and divulge what's happening in my life. Absolutely. Right. And I think that's true for so many people.
Absolutely. You know, I often say that, like, it's important when you're building a relationship with a therapist, like, you recognize that, like, just like every barber who got a license can't cut your hair. And every stylist who got a license can't style your hair. Everybody who got a license as a therapist doesn't mean that's a match for you.
That's like the moment when you do the, like, this is what I showed them and then this is what happened.
Right.
And you, like, it went left so fast. Mm-hmm. And it's like, and so, but you have to know how to navigate that, right? That if you're in emotional distress and you're seeking help, you may not have the clarity of mind to be like, hey, so I want to make sure that you know, like, everybody doesn't know how to do that and doesn't feel the agency to do that. And so how can we build systems that make sense for the people who are using them?
Absolutely, it makes sense. I love this piece. Another piece I think is really important too, is holding this piece that I often hear people talk about, you know, Black folks don't talk about mental health or have not talked about mental health historically, right?
Not true.
Right. And I feel like that's such a racist idea, the idea that, like, we talk about mental health all the time. We have our own language for it.
Absolutely.
I grew up hearing people say, oh, she in a mood, or, you know, so-and-so is touched, or so-and-so's got the blues. There was language, but it wasn't the same language. We weren't going around saying, like, oh, he's got clinical depression, you know, blah, blah, blah. Like,
and that's also because of the history of psychiatry, right? And the ways in which our folks were treated when institutionalized, not supportive, unkind, unfriendly, and frankly, just unhelpful, right? And so, like, people wanting to distance themselves from that kind of clinical naming and shaming, frankly, to be able to just be like, how do we navigate this? And how do we just say, like, oh, yeah, you know, I'm going through it, right? We have all these catchphrases in our community to describe the emotional distress that we're under because the systems that we're a part of demonize and stigmatize us when we acknowledge, like, oh, yeah, I don't feel like something's right. Right? Something feels wrong. And now we got to be shamed and like paperwork and all these different things. And I just don't think that's the way it has to be.
Yeah. And it's not safe. I think it's the piece to talk about too. Like, even as we talk about, we have to hold that even as we're talking about getting people to get into care, that so many of the dominant systems are not safe for them.
Right.
That, like, we know that Black folks who are experiencing mental health distress, like, are more likely to get killed by the police. We know that, like, not listened to and supported when they go to get medical care, right? Or when we go to get medical care, right? And so holding all those pieces is a part of the remix, right? We can't just pretend like, oh, everybody go to therapy. It's like, that's not real life. Like, let's talk about real life and the real struggles. Mm-hmm. And also understand therapy isn't an intervention for everybody.
Right.
Like, there are a lot of other strategies and tools that are really helpful. Like, I think about tapping, which is, you know, emotional freedom technique, which has been proven effective to work with veterans. A lot of, like, elders and folks love it. Like, you know, as a strategy to manage anxiety,
absolutely.
Right? I'm thinking about yoga. I'm thinking about Reiki. I'm thinking about church. I'm thinking about all these things that are different things in our tool belts that can be helpful that often are dismissed or denied as really valid strategies for healing and wellness.
And recognizing that, you know, I think sometimes we think, like, we can only do one thing, right? And I think about, like, my first experiences in college with yoga. And low-key, I really only took it because all the basketball players were taking yoga. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, I'm going to do it too, right? And then I was like, oh, it's at 8 o'clock on a Friday. I don't think I can follow through with this. And also I learned that I got weak wrists. And so I was like, this is painful to me. I don't actually enjoy this. And so while there are some optics that I did enjoy, the wrist was weak. And I was like, yoga is not, maybe it's probably not for me, right? And so being willing to try different things to find what is my thing, right? And I think in our community, trying and failure has higher risk in our community. And so sometimes people are hesitant to try different kinds of things because if you keep trying stuff, people are like, oh, you can't never find the right thing. You always doing something different. And it's like, yeah, until I find the right thing that feels good for me.
Yeah, totally, totally.
Yeah.
I have no idea where we're going.
That's why I was trying to go to a sacred pause.
I don't know where we're going.
So I'd love to now, like, share a little bit about how some of the practices that we utilize, right, that we find helpful, that are empowering to us, and that other folks can try on, right? I know, Yolo, you're offering a specific kind of technique that you utilize and that is helpful for you, and I'd love if you would, like, share that with us.
Yeah. So one practice that I think is really helpful that is really simple is called box breathing, right? And so if you imagine a square or a box and you imagine it has four sides, the technique is really simple. What it is that you take a deep inhale through your nose, filling your belly for 4 seconds. Then you hold that for 4 seconds. Then you release slowly for 4 seconds and then you repeat.
Right? And so can we just talk about this for a minute? Because when I do this, I'd be feeling like I'm gonna die. It'd be like 4 seconds, hold. And I'd be like, oh, is it 4 seconds? You know, it'd be like the longest 4 seconds of your life when you got to hold your breath. And it's like, we've definitely held our breath for longer than 4 seconds. Yeah, yeah. But also that's like part of the anxiety, right? Is like, that's part of the surrender, is being with your body and like really integrating. And so like, for the folks who might be trying this for the first time, it might feel uncomfortable, right? Just like the first time we did anything. It probably was not like the most stellar moment of our lives, but I think there's some beauty in just trying things and seeing if it fits. And that's why our practices are consent-based, right? Because maybe today you like, nah, that ain't for me, girl, that ain't it. And other days you might totally be like, huh, I remember this tool. Maybe this is a good thing for me to utilize. So let's try it today and see if today is the day. Yeah.
I'm crashing.
You're crashing.
I'm crashing. Yeah. Energy's like, I feel like I'm lost.
Do you need sugar?
I think I need food, but I'm also like a little, I think we need the structure. I'm a little lost. I don't know where I'm going. And I think they're like, I think it's good we're having a conversation, but I'm just like a little like, wait, where am I? I'm confused.
What do you need to help so you?
I think, reconvene.
Yes. Yeah.
So I think when I need some food, because it's definitely my lunchtime. It's like 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock. I'm feeling my body.
Yes.
And then I think we need some structure.
Sound cut.
It's all good. It's all good. It's okay. Yeah.
When we returned to set, prior to fully shooting again, we captured some of the behind-the-scenes conversation. We want to share that with you.
As opposed to fix it and actually tell someone why this is this, which is actually not helpful to people who are having a moment where they might be activated or just exhausted. So I want to share that because I just want to make sure I'm clear about that. Like, it was very frustrating for me because I was just like, whoa, I am really having a moment. My energy's already low. I'm, like, already confused. And then I feel like I'm getting things that are not helpful when I've said what I need, you know? So I just want to say that and name that. No ill will towards anyone appreciating everyone, because like once again, I recognize everyone's coming from this place of I'm trying to help. But I'm asking in the future that, like, you know, with all of us, if there are moments when we just like we need to pause or we need to refill something, let them have that. We don't have to go to trying to rationalize and are trying to fix it for them. Let them have their feeling and go to where they need to do. That makes sense. And I just wanted to share that. Just not with the intention of y'all like, I'm not trying to shame anybody or anything. Like, we all actually clearly showed up in my moment, right? But I just want to name it because I don't think I'm not a person that likes to like sit and pretend like something didn't happen and something did happen in the space.
Everybody good? Everybody still want to be here?
Also, what did you say?
He said everybody still want to be here.
Want to be here.
Yeah, be like, I'm good. YOLO doing a lot. It's a lot, sis. It's a lot.
His name is YOLO.
He's already doing a lot. It's the most.
No. We understand and appreciate you.
And I think that's a piece of me, too. Like, it's like recognizing and holding that, like, when all of us are in these moments, we all have these moments of tension, of distress. We all are trying to respond in the way we know how to respond to support people.
Mm-hmm.
And that some of our strategies are different, are not as refined, or some are really developed, some of the thoughtful, whatever. They're what we know, right? And I think that like in that moment for me, it was just like, okay, wait, I could have did differently was actually could have just said, I need a break. I need to actually step out. I actually don't need these other things that you all are offering graciously and thoughtfully, but it's not actually what I need. And it's actually making me more dysregulated.
And what I think is like, this is what happens in the midst of things, right? Is like we don't have full clarity. We don't have capacity to be perfectly eloquent,
right?
And articulate something absolutely. Like those are ideals. That's not the norm of how life happens.
No, it's not.
And I think we punish each other when the norm doesn't happen instead of going, that's life. And let's keep rocking.
Yeah, and let's keep rocking, but let's also keep learning.
Yes.
Right, so like, you know, I think about the piece
not
about,
keep rocking and ignore what happened.
Right, keep rocking and
learning and growing.
And giving each other grace.
Yeah.
Because I think about like, there's so many times in which I've shown up in spaces and communities where I could have shown up and did something differently, but I didn't know how to do something differently.
And that happens a million times a day to everybody.
And I think that's like the piece about the real practice, right? But it also is a piece about like, you know, in that moment, it's like, am I listening to understand or am I listening to fix it?
Ooh.
Because if I'm listening to fix it, then I'm sometimes going past the feeling. And sometimes the feeling is actually the fixing it. Mm-hmm. The feeling is just like, oh, you feel that way. Okay, bet.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about that feeling. As opposed to like the fixing it, which is sometimes we go to, I'm going to talk you out of your feeling or rationalize you as to why your feeling and emotion is not legit. And like our is not sound. And that actually is the gaslighting in many ways, right? And so I think, but it's common because we're taught to do that. It's like positive psychology ourselves out of our emotions.
And when you think about the history of our community, right?
Mm-hmm.
This is a strategy.
Yes, it is.
To survive.
Yes, it is.
We ain't got time.
We ain't got time for feelings.
To be in our, think about our grandparents and our mamas. I was raised by a single mom.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't have time
yep.
for all of my emotional distress mm-hmm. every single day.
Mm.
As I was aging because she had to pay this light bill and we had to get in the car by 7:50. And if we didn't, I was going to be late to school and she was going to be late to work. And then these white folks was going to be talking to her wild. That was the reality of our paradigm, right? And so I just think about like, you know, and I can talk to my mom now and be like, yo, the ways in which you were so like, have to be at school, have to do this. Like, where was the fun in my childhood? And she looks back and she's like, yeah, I was doing the best that I could. And I can see that, right? I can see it in the details. She was trying to set me up for whatever success I wanted to have without knowing what I could even become, right? Because the world would be different by the time I would be an adult. And it's a world she wasn't necessarily going to be a part of in the same way.
Yeah. I love that piece you said about setting up for success, because I think there's an intergenerational piece to that, right? So I think about, like, same thing in my family. Like, you know, I often talk about I love my family. And, like, I remember in my mid-20s really getting my family, coming home to my mom and dad and hugging them, and that being so uncomfortable. Because they were like, we're not
touching people. Yeah, the back
people.
Get rigid.
They're like, whoa, why are you hugging people and you're touching people? Like, that was not something they grew up having, right? And sometimes our family's idea of setting us up for success is, let me teach you that your feelings aren't valuable. Let me teach you that your feelings need to be minimized. Let me teach you to deny your feelings, because that's the coping strategy that I've had and was passed down to me to survive this environment.
And right? Because when we keep it a buck, when you go out into white world,
right, you can't.
Don't nobody care about how you feel.
Right.
They care about, did you do your job or you didn't?
Yes. And the piece is, it's the both and. It's like, we aren't taught that, like, cultivate a space in your home and your family and your friends somewhere
where you have safety,
where emotional safety, where it's okay to have your feeling, that there's not good or bad feelings. There are only feelings are information, where we're not shooting on our feelings. Because wherever we should, we shame. Right. But like, that's not what we've been taught, because our folks didn't have the tools sometimes and the resources. So the feeling. So the teaching was from our moms, our dads, from parents. Talk yourself out of it, deny it, repress it. And then when we think
so
about...
So you can get back to what you need to do.
And then when we think about why there's so much mental health distress in our communities, because we have generations of people denying and talking themselves and minimizing and gaslighting themselves out of their feelings. So now, as opposed to people being like, I'm angry, you're like, well, why are you angry? You shouldn't be angry because blah, blah, blah. I was like, wait a second, hold on. I'm angry. Let me have my anger. I have a right to be angry. I have a right to be sad. They're like, the sadness is not wrong. Sadness is information. There's something that I need to learn or grow from. But that's counter to what we learn. And it's
counter to the culture.
Yes.
In many ways that, like, our folks did not have the opportunity.
Yes.
That spaciousness that we now can swim in.
Yes.
They did not have.
Yes. Yes.
And so they're teaching us only what they knew.
Exactly.
And the challenge that I always have to our elders is, and I now live in a world that you don't fully participate in.
That part.
And so I express differently than you might, because I have more space to.
An opportunity and privilege to do as well.
Absolutely.
That, like, we live in a different world where I don't have to suffocate my emotions in the same way to survive and navigate. I have other opportunities available to me. And I think it's also important too that even our imagining of history, that we recognize that there were Black folks who are our elders who also made those same spaces.
Absolutely.
Who made those spaces to heal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even though the common norm may be, you know, repress, deny, it is what it is, as opposed to, no, I feel grief.
And because in every family, there's always one maverick who's like, nah, I ain't doing that.
Yeah, yeah.
What y'all on? I ain't finna do that. Yeah. And everybody, we say they weirdos.
Yeah.
Oh, that's my aunt so-and-so. You know, she a little... We do that to the person who's saying, this space is too rigid for me. I need more space. We sometimes ostracize them.
All the time.
And I think about, like, you know, my dad one time saying, oh, you think you know everything now. Right? And I was like, no, I don't think I know everything. But the things I know, baby, I know.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And like, And that shame that then comes back in the community when someone now has decided, I want more. I want something different. I want, you know what I mean? It's the same thing when you go to cookout and you're like, I'm a vegetarian. And everybody's like, what?
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, I'm trying to do something else. Like, dang, like, can you just get the vegan hot dogs? And like, can we move on? Like, why does it have to be a thing? But it has to be a thing if we don't have other things in common.
Yes. There's multiple pieces I want to pull out there. Like, so the piece about the shame. Recognizing that when we have this conversation about mental health and intergenerational mental health, that we're often bringing to elders, people we love, and our family, our partners, sometimes insights that make them aware of themselves that elicit shame in them.
Absolutely.
Right? So we go back to your uncle or your father and say, like, hey, when you did this actually was hurtful to me. And the end of reaction that a lot of folks have is often shame. And I want to make a distinction between shame and responsibility, or shame and guilt, is that shame says, I'm a bad person, versus responsibility saying, I did a bad thing. Right. And often in our culture, we are taught, like I think about the poet June Jordan, where she says, we are taught that wrong is our name as Black folks. Our elders have been taught that wrong is their name. And so whenever someone comes to you and gives you that feedback, you immediately think, I'm a bad person, as opposed to I learned something that was not helpful. I did something that was harmful. I can make a different choice, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think it's important that when we talk about intergenerational conversations, when we're having conversations with our elders, or just our folks in communities who aren't as resourced as us, like who may not be this, this ain't they jam, they ain't in this all the time, that we understand, we come in with compassion, being like, seeing that we were those people, we were that point too, right?
Baby,
I can say now 20 plus years doing public health and mental health work where I'm at now, but 20 years ago, I was out here doing
shambles.
The same dumb, I can look back on choices I made, which were reflective of what my parents taught me, who just passing down what they knew. Mm-hmm. And now I can have different strategies and tools, which have been intentionally held back from Black people, right? Mm-hmm. Strategies and tools that have been intentionally held back from us, frameworks that we were not giving access to.
Yep.
And so now we have the privilege to be able to hold that. But I can also see to have the grace, because when I see somebody showing up in a way that people be like, oh, I can't believe they're acting like that, I see myself.
And I think it's also such an opportunity to have curiosity that, like, when I am activated, I'm immediately like, what's happening for me? Like, what is this eliciting such that I'm having this emotional response? And I think we've been shamed out of curiosity.
Mm.
Curiosity is dangerous.
Come on, say that.
And so that's the first place I want to go. I want to first go to curiosity. What's being awakened in me? And why? What's the opportunity here?
And then when you think about it, we've been shamed out of curiosity. We've been beaten out of curiosity.
Oh, 100%.
Like so much of, you think about intergenerationally what Black folks, what we've had, our forefathers, our grandparents had to do, chose to do to protect us was like, I got to beat the curiosity out of you because the white world will kill you
if you're curious. Yes.
And so
like
even
literally
kill you.
Yes.
And so now we have generations where in many ways that's still very true, but shifted in some contexts, but the behavior is still global, as if we don't have opportunity to be curious in some places.
And that psychic knowing of like, that many of us didn't make it.
Yeah, because right? We're curious.
That's embedded in our DNA, that protection of don't do too much.
Yes.
Because you know it ain't actually safe, right? And whether we contend with that each day or not, I think depends on the amount of privilege we hold, right? I think about my safety as a woman existing in a female body, right? Like, I think about physical safety all the time. 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, I sleep with my bedroom door locked in my own house. Because I go, well, but let me have all the barriers so nobody can say, well, why didn't you da-da-da-da-da, right? Because we know that when women experience violence in the world, people ask them, well, why didn't you XYZ?
Yeah.
And so as a Black woman, as a queer woman, I have all my markers, I go, well, did I do everything? So that when something bad happens, I can say, no, I did everything. It's not because it was my fault this time. And that's the subtext to many of our experiences, is we're trying to put up these parameters so that we know we checked all the boxes to say that it equals the right thing. So we should have good mental health because I did all the things. And then when it's still all the things ain't showing up because we might be experiencing mental illness that might be ongoing, right? Then we're in even more distress because we're like, I did the things. I went to the yoga. I did this. I went to the therapist. How come I'm still not well?
And
it's like, because well ain't a landing point. Mm. It ain't a destination. It's a thing you're going to constantly interact with.
So reflecting back on that, an affirmation for me in this moment, because I like to close the space with an affirmation.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe I have multiple affirmations, okay?
Honey, you can have all the ones you want.
The first affirmation I have is, I don't have to be embarrassed by my anger.
Mm.
I know that I come from communities where, or environments where I internalized that I should never feel angry, that it's not okay to be emotive. And I think some of that came from me seeing people be emotive and me experience the ways they were emotive and maybe feel even my own feelings about that. But I'm trying to honor that my anger, my frustration is valid and okay. It's okay not to be people pleasing in an appeasement mode all the time. And so I think that's a big lesson for me. And it's also, I think another affirmation for me is also honoring that, you know, that our folks care, our folks show up for us and care, and with what they know how to show up and care with, right? And that it's not coming from a place of like, you know, of ill intent. It's just like, no, I'm trying to help. And sometimes we don't know what the thing to help is most useful. I think you said about what TA said, like, I don't know. And that's one of the most powerful things you can say when it comes to mental health and healing work. I don't know.
Because now there's possibility.
Now there's possibility and there's honesty. As opposed to like, you know, scrambling, which is really easy. And what we're encouraged to do, because I feel like we live in a culture that tells us like, you're supposed to know what's happening. You're supposed to know how to fix it.
And honey, we just don't know everything.
We don't.
We ain't going.
Praise God.
This ain't Ask Jeeves. We don't know everything.
We don't know. Ask Jeeves, is that still around?
I don't know, but I've heard
that's a very random reference that you just brought.
You know, this brain of mine, it'll take you places.
So for you, you know, being a part of this as well, what was an affirmation that you were taking away from me?
I think I'm taking away and like standing with that being with people in the process is sometimes the most powerful thing you can do. That I come from a world where I have to have the answer, that I have to know what to do, I have to know how to delegate. And sometimes it is doing this and going, we gonna figure it out. And not having to have the answer. And I think that is the beauty and the liberation in the moment. So that's what I'm taking away.
Ashe.
Thanks for joining us. We're just delighted to be able to do this work. I'll speak for myself, but I know this is true for you too. I'm delighted to do this work, to be in conversation, to talk about the hard, messy, sticky stuff, because it makes us richer, fuller, and more beautiful. And so wherever you are, we just are sending you love and peace and safety and all the things that you might need. I want to encourage you to think of your own affirmation and to let you know that we are rooting for you. We see you and we can't wait to be back with you. All right.